I care about Rhode Island. My focus is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Most definitely is right. Well, good afternoon, folks. 2:06 on this Wednesday. He kind of gets thrown off a little bit. Joining us right now, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com, and it is our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, it's a little frightening. Boy, that storm that blew through earlier was, wasn't tremendous wind, wasn't tremendous amount of rain. And what do we have, over 20,000 people that lost power and you have trees down and everything else? So I wouldn't exactly say that the state is poised to take on any type of major hurricane this season.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's not been that way for a long time. For a while, I mean, even within the past 10 years, I started hearing a lot more people talking about how, you know, when we were younger, there would be a storm, you'd lose power maybe for an hour, maybe you wouldn't lose power at all. But now it seems like every major snowstorm or every major thunderstorm, some area loses power for a long, long time.
Yeah.
We're just not upgrading our infrastructure well enough because naturally we find better things to do with all of our money.
Right. Well, allegedly we find better things. That's also, yeah. You know, that's one of the problems. And, you know, you've seen it with roadworks, obviously, where over the course of the years, and instead of improving infrastructure, whether it be just the type of power we get and or roads, that's not the sexiest type of use of money up on Smith Hill. So any chance they got, they would divert the money elsewhere. And as a result of that, look at this. I mean, today, that was like nothing what happened, and the power outage was just incredible. So, and there's still people without power. So I can't even imagine if what's going on down south, if that actually blew north. But it was several years ago when the winds got up to, I think it was 35 miles an hour, and 80% of the state lost power. National Grid, it's also deceiving because the media always just keeps repeating the number of customers. But, you know, if you and I live in a home with 10 other people, we're considered one customer for the household. So the amount of people is actually much higher than, you know, they're very big at, you know, 10,000 customers are without power. Well, you know, that's not 10,000 people living alone. There's obviously more people, sometimes, you know, at least that or more. And then instead, you know, they're all without power. But let's, Justin, I want to start off, you know, yesterday this whole business regarding DACA and the reaction to it, you know, what's shocking to me, I mean, some of it's somewhat predictable. The amount of reaction from whether it be Congressman Cicilline, Senator Whitehouse, Governor Mundo on down, somewhat predictable. But what I find ironic is, in many ways, what President Trump did yesterday was this is an opportunity where whether it's Senator Sheldon Whitehouse or whether it's Congressman David Cicilline, whoever, where they could say, okay, the ball is now in our court to work together with the other side to come up with some type of legislation. And instead, you would think that that they have, you know, that they're just in the stands, that they're not even involved in the game the way they reacted to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it goes to show, I mean, apart from the sense that a memo went out, you know, every single politician, it seems, has used the word cruel in the past 24 hours. It either catches on organically or the memo goes out. Reinforce that this is cruel policy. Somehow they came up with that word. Maybe somebody just watched 101 Dalmatians or something. But the idea that they're not going out there and saying, okay, well, we now have to fix this, and we will do it. You know, and you would think these politicians would be out there saying, you know, we may have to build the stupid wall, but we're going to protect you. You know, that even if we have to compromise a little bit on that kind of a thing, but they don't do that because and what becomes clear is that the politicians are just using these young adults who are trapped and admittedly in this bad situation. They don't want to solve the problem.
No,
you know, if they keep these problems going, they benefit. And,
yes.
Not only in the short run where they get a few votes from these folks because, you know, next time the cycle comes around, these are the guys fighting for me. So they get the votes in the short term. But in the long term, if government can be this arbitrary, so if President Obama can just say, you know what, Congress wouldn't pass the law that I wanted, and even though I said I couldn't do this, I'm going to implement the law by myself. Here you go. And the next president can come in and say, no, we're changing policy, and the next one can come in and change it again. If that's the way we do government, then you have to buy your politicians because they can affect your entire life. And so that benefits them in the long run, just structurally. And it's really not a good way to go about government. If they were responsible, they would be out there, as you say, that their tone would be completely different. They wouldn't be attacking the president. They'd be saying, look, we will resolve this. That's why you elected us, and we're here to serve you and protect you.
Right.
But that's not what they want to do. They want to just scare people up, get some political hits in there, and reinforce the idea that you need them in your life. They're not going to solve your problems and go away. They're here permanently, and you have to always put your life in their hands.
Well, you know, you raise a very good point. And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. You would think that after the president announced, you know, Congress has 6 months, that Congressman Cicilline, Congressman Landrigan, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Reid, that they would then announce, this is great, good, this is what we're looking for. Now we're going to have a chance to shape this, and we're going to have our impact, and this is the plan that we're supporting. Zero. I mean, they stand back as if they might as well be at the bleachers, and they're just booing the team. I mean, it's almost as if they have no skin in the game. And you're also right, the fact that, boy, it's like one right after another with the talking points as far as cruel, and this is un-American was one quote. Senator Whitehouse even compared it to Charlottesville. None of it talks about solving the problem. This is how we're going to work with the other side to come up with a solution. Nothing like that, Justin. And I also, I want to get your action, but a pet peeve I have with Congressman Cicilline, he's always talking about, I'm down there fighting for Rhode Islanders every day. You know, obviously it's not working because they're not getting any legislation. I'd rather hear, I'm down there representing Rhode Islanders. I'm down there working, trying to work with the other side on behalf of Rhode Islanders. This whole business of, I am there fighting for you every single day. This whole element of the fight and who we're up against and the other side is the enemy. That's who you fight. You fight your enemies. There's nothing statesman about the whole crew and the reaction to the president's announcement yesterday.
Right, and that goes to showing that at this point, it's almost like government is just a scam. Where they're really just marketing themselves. They're marketing their position, their authority, and trying to get you to remember them and think you need them. And then when they get down there, you know, it's not really so much to do government. I mean, the clip has been going around of President Obama implementing DACA.
Yes.
And he emphasized this is a temporary stopgap measure. All right, well, we're years later now. When does temporary end? I've noticed usually news stories, when they put in an acronym like DACA, D-A-C-A, they'll define it. And less than usual, it seems, they're not defining this one. I mean, they're not defining this one as much as normal. And I think it might be because within the name is deferred action.
That's right.
Childhood.
Yes.
I think either that or they've forgotten what deferred means. This was supposed to be a temporary thing. And if we were about governing, and if these people were sent to Washington to represent us and try to resolve our problems, like we all kind of were taught when they used to teach civics in school, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that would be what they'd be doing. They'd say, okay, we got the temporary stopgap. Now we're going to resolve this problem by compromising, because that's what drives you nuts, is there's got to be a compromise. You know, you look at the numbers they're thrown around, but say 800,000 young adults who've never known another country. That's a big humanitarian issue that a lot of people can feel sympathy for. So if that's your priority, then you compromise on something. Okay, we're going to have to actually enforce immigration laws. You know, that would be a reasonable compromise. And they don't even want to bring that up as a possibility. It's just, it's much better to send out the fundraising emails saying, you know, they're after you. You must vote for me. And they get away with it. That you would think that reporters would start asking them, well, what are you going to do as
right.
a congressman? Are you willing to compromise? I don't think I've seen that question asked.
No.
That would be my first question if I were interviewing Senator Whitehouse out there. This is cruel. Okay, well, are you willing to compromise in order to save these 800,000 young adults? Never ask.
Well, not only that, but Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, you know, he was at that press conference yesterday in Central Falls. And, you know, the Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, he's going to join other state attorney generals in a legal challenge. Well, as Lindsey Graham, who was on the Today Show, Senator Lindsey Graham, was on the Today Show, and he has been a frequent critic of President Trump. But he was even defending the president, saying that there were Republican attorney generals that were go in court, and they were challenging the whole DACA program, and they were going to win, which is why, because it is unconstitutional, which is why the president then moved in this manner. So what do you get? I mean, nowhere do I see that mentioned. No one does questions Kilmartin like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean you're going to challenge it? This has already been challenged. They were going to win in challenging it. That's why, you know, the president said we need a permanent solution here. And as you mentioned, even President Obama said it's deferred. It's temporary. It's a stopgap. It's not meant to be permanent. But none of that seems to come into play. Instead, it seems to be just in the same verbiage of hateful actions. We're going to protect you, blah, blah, bigotry. And then they, you know, roll out all these kids with these stories of, you know, I came here when I was 13. Many of these, quote, DACA young students and everything else are they're in their 20s or even 30 years old. So it's not even a matter of young kids the way this is being portrayed.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, one of the most shocking things that, for me, of being nerdy in this way, was the news coverage. Instantly, you almost couldn't figure out what the policy actually was. I mean, if they had presented the statement, you would see that was right in the president's statement, was this is temporary and we're being sued and we don't think we can win the cases,
right.
So we have to take action now.
Yes.
That was explained in his rationale, but it's not reported. They don't report that. They talk about deportation as if it's going to happen, as if his statement was, I'm coming for you tomorrow,
right.
Instead of we're going to start phasing these out in 6 months, so you'll have to come up with another solution. And so they're using all these words, scaring people up, and they're reporting, you know, the sympathetic anecdotes about young, well, 20s, 30s, still young adults these days. I mean, you're on your health, parents' health care until you're, I don't know, retired these days. But that's what they're reporting, is why this is bad, not what it is. And it's just really a huge disservice to news consumers and Americans generally. And I don't know how long a democracy can go on when people aren't being informed about what the news actually is.
Yeah, and especially, you know, even yesterday, as soon as the news broke, they had huge protests where then people were just sitting down in front of Trump Tower in New York City. They had the press conference yesterday in Central Falls. And it is ironic that there have been far bigger abuses. I know that one person was questioning where Governor Raimondo and others were saying, look at this, even the bishop agrees with us, but they certainly won't then, you know, question, or they don't want to be too close to the bishop when the bishop talks about being pro-life. They certainly pick and choose, but it many of the people that were out there, seemingly, you're right, they would have thought that the president announced we're going to start deportation within 24 hours. Instead, he had actually said to Congress, you have 6 months to come up with something. Many times Congress would look at this as, okay, this is going to be an opportunity. I would like to hear Congressman Cicilline's plan of what we're going to do this. I'll tell you, Justin, they've in many ways, the Rhode Island delegation, they've just become like professional rock throwers. I never hear solutions on this stuff. It's all just whatever President Trump is doing is wrong. I think I had mentioned to you 2 months ago, Governor Raimondo was on that. You know, she does the Channel 10 thing every Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, just connect to the Capitol. And then the person asking her said, President Trump came out with his health care plan today. You know, is there any part about that you agree? And the governor said, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but the answer is no. I mean, that was very, very telling, you know, the ultimate, whatever, like the Groucho March, whatever it is, I'm against it. It just starts to blur after a while, and we're not getting leadership. We're getting just talking points regurgitated from the Democrat Party.
Right. Well, and they come out with these talking points that are obviously coordinated. And isn't it amazing how, you know, you used to hear when aspirin was a bigger thing than ibuprofen, how amazing it is that aspirin knows where to go in your body. It's kind of amazing how these protesters know where to go the instant the statement is released.
That's right.
And they haven't read it. They just, oh, we this means I must go congregate in front of Trump Tower. So somehow
right.
they just know this. But the politicians come out with these scare stories, and then it's furthered in the news media. I mean, you mentioned the bishop. His statement was actually very reasoned, Bishop Tobin. So it was just, you know, and nobody doubts where he stands on immigration issues, but
right.
It was, you know, this is not the best thing. We need to work together to a solution. I mean, that was basically what he said. Kathy Gregg, who I was kind of surprised, put the word she didn't put it in quotes, but she essentially put the word deportation in his mouth. The bishop said, facing deportation, these kids are scared. He didn't, that's not in the statement. And I actually contacted the bishop's office and said, was there an interview that wasn't, you know, that wasn't part of the statement or something? Nope. She just inferred that he meant they were facing deportation. And so they get this whole thing, the thing rolling. So anybody who now, so you trust some politicians, you trust, and they roll the news media, and the news media puts stuff in the stories that isn't necessarily true. And so if you trust the bishop, you'll believe there's deportations happening immediately, when in fact, not a single deportation until 6 months. And even then, that's just the start of the process, even if it gets that far.
Right.
The people who've had the DACA applications for the longest will start to be, face that issue or have to come up with some other solution at that point. So it's disconcerting to see how this rolling just starts to happen. Although it's educational, you can see how a society falls apart. But we kind of need to get a grip on all this, and it would be nice if it could start with the people we've elected to lead us.
Folks, we're going to ask Justin to hold on just for a moment. It's Justin Katz, managing editor from OceanStateCurrent.com. We're also going to talk about the situation latest on the Paw Sox, the roadshow they're going to roll out, and also it's interesting how. There was even a story in the Providence Journal saying that Ken Block came out with this big study on gaps in the voting system, and unfortunately, it has fallen on deaf ears. But it's John DePietro on this Wednesday, and I want to remind you folks, Dan's Place is your place. Great food, family-friendly atmosphere, award-winning wings, delicious burgers, and the best pizza that you've ever tasted. It's all at Dan's Place. There's always something happening at Dan's Place. Now, today, Wednesday, wind down Wednesdays, half-price bottles of wine all day. Thursday, Mexican Day, with all your favorites, Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich. They're right off of Route 95. You just take exit 5A off Route 95, 880 Victory Highway. You will see them right there. I'll tell you, it's a friendly staff. They have live music on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. The place will be jammed for the Patriots tomorrow night. If you want to be surrounded by Patriot fans, you want to be at Dan's Place tomorrow night. Award-winning wings, great burgers, and it's going to be like a pep rally for the Patriots season opener tomorrow night at Dan's Place. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come right back. Managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Also, Senate hopeful. Republican Bobby Nardolillo is going to join me a little bit later in the afternoon. President Trump is also expected to speak. We'll bring you up to speed on that, what's going to happen with the hurricane, and a lot more all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Speed Queen washers and dryers, built for commercial use and now available for the home, are designed to last over 10,400 cycles or 25 years. But if you're an overworked, multi-kids, 10 loads a week kind of laundry doer, these machines may only last 20 years, even with Speed Queen's commercial quality metal components. So, buy a Speed Queen knowing you may be in for a mere 20 years of continuous use. Visit us at speedqueen.com.
Folks, remember, JKL Engineering. Let JKL design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business today. JKL Engineering, these Carrier systems, they have the highest rebates on the market. They're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you could save over 50% on your energy bill just by having JKL replace that old clunker. JKL Engineering, they also specialize in complete commercial rooftop systems, design to ductwork, installation, and service. Call JKL Engineering today for a free estimate at 351-7600, JKL Engineering. Folks, you want to be nice and comfortable in your home. How does this sound? It's always 68 degrees, or maybe it's always 70 degrees, whatever temperature you want. But you want your system to run as efficiently as possible, and JKL Engineering can do that. They're licensed in both Rhode Island and Massachusetts. Call them today for a free estimate. JKL Engineering, 351-7600, 351-7600. They'll design and install a Carrier Infinity system. These systems, they're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you could save over 50% on your energy bill just by having JKL replace that old clunker. Call JKL Engineering today, 351-7600.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, folks, so we're back on this Wednesday. Our guest, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, it's Justin Katz. Justin, the Paw Sox certainly seem to have their act together a little bit more, announcing this roadshow. They're going to take six different places around the state. Senate's coming back in. The House, again, you know, they're definitely not, they're going to be kicking the tires. I can't imagine that the Paw Sox would be going through all of this if they didn't have some kind of a deal. It's going to be interesting to see what the crowd is like that shows up. They're not doing the 39 cities and towns. The word on the street is this is already pretty much a done deal. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going forward on this. But I am curious. I still don't hear public sentiment in favor of anything to do to bail out and put money towards a new Paw Sox stadium.
No, I'm not picking up anything at all like that. In fact, the thing I'm hearing most of all is people in either the news media or advocates for the thing saying, oh, you know, it's time to let 38 studios go.
That's right.
Sometimes we just have to take your money and invest it in private projects that we like. At this point, it's really just all I'm hearing are from advocates, you know, people who are free to let their imaginations run wild about how wonderful this is going to be. And this in Rhode Island, that's, you know, this is basically how a relative minority can agree to make everybody in the state commit to almost $100 million project. I still come back to if it's such a wonderful thing and sure thing and the math works and all that, why does the government have to be involved
That's
at all?
Right.
So they'll go to their, you know, centrally located locations and have let people vent. I think it was Scott McKay on Rhode Island Public Radio. That's how he put it. Yeah, we'll let the Rhode Islanders blow off some steam and vent. And that's not really how policy ought to be done.
Well, not only that, it's funny you mentioned McKay, because I saw him. He was a guest. Hummel had him and Bob Walsh, and they were on Live Experiment. And the discussion there, you know, no one talks about the fact that maybe, just maybe, you know, for Ruggiero, Senate president tied in with the laborers, how much, you know, the union, they could charge 25-30% more than they would normally do. And that everything is about the iconic brand, and you can't let them leave, and this is going to be good for the economy, and everything. Nothing about the basic taxpayers, some of the conflict of interest that already are involved, whether it be the governor taking the campaign donations. Obviously, listen, the laborers, if Ruggiero pulls this off, the amount of money they're going to make off this thing between, you know, the highway being redone or a special ramp for it, taking down the old McCoy, building the new stadium is just there's nothing else out there. Plus, all the money is guaranteed. It's not like a shopping mall. But what I think this time is going to be interesting is who is going to show up at this thing. Because I know the last time the Paw Sox were definitely caught off guard, and they set some younger staffers, and they would – I remember they had that famous, you know, at different places, they were shouted down by some of these people, and they had a back and forth at William Hall Library in Cranston that got very, very heated and kind of lost control of the crowd. I think this time, though, this is going to be a union operation. You know, you get there, the guys are there in the matching T-shirts, the hard hats, this is about jobs, this is all good. Maybe the doors open at 6, they're in line at 4:30, they're rallying. I know there's already certain people that are against it, and they have been successful last time, and they were successful with trying to keep public money with the Superman building. But this thing, to me, is starting to reek a little bit of a done deal of insiders. It's just a matter of who's getting what. But we're just going to see a charade put forward on this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, and that's how you do it. When a small group has a high amount of interest, you require a high amount of effort in order to be heard. So it ought to work that there's people's comments online on websites, and that kind of develops the whole tone of how people feel about this. And I think that's what happened last time, because there's nobody who makes a lot of money by stopping this, you know. So there's nobody who has the incentive to rally the troops and go to the meetings and fight not to have their money taken. It's all people just looking at a little bit of money more out of taxes and more risk for the state. So yeah, that's what you do. You pick a place, you got to show up. All those people with the high incentive to do that, to tens of millions of dollars, to put up a new stadium, take down an old stadium, change the infrastructure around, process the financing, all of that stuff, those people have incentive to go, make it seem like a big deal. And you've got six chances, right? So if the advocates against it show up at five and dominate somehow, you can still have that one where you can just say, hey, look, you know, here's all the clips from that one where we were successful. So everything about it is just nudging it till it becomes that done deal. And in fact, in Worcester, a member of the city council there was called for them to reconsider their, I don't know if it was a statement or an authorization for the town administrator to start looking into this, or the city administrator. And the city councilor was saying, well, are we just doing this to give the PawSox negotiation leverage, or is this, yeah, are we committing to actually do something? Because right. I don't want to just be involved in a show.
No, like a stalking horse, much like Connecticut yeah. was for the Patriots. Yes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. And it's just the harder they can make it for people to express their skepticism about the deal, the more likely it is they can just push it through.
Yeah, but I think this is just too good to pass up, because we both know if this deal does not go through, if you're the laborers and you know, Ruggiero, Senate president, that first and always a laborer, what's the next $100 million, $150 million stadium coming down the pipe? There isn't any. And just some of the conflicts between, again, you know, that's a conflict. Of course he wants the laborers to get it. I think the governor could have stepped back and said, I'm not going to take campaign donations. I'm not saying that's why she's fully on board with it, but it doesn't hurt. And then you even have a member of the media who is plugging for this and behind the scenes is working the team because they want to be one of the TV announcers for the PawSox. So, I mean, if everyone would just kind of lay their cards down on the table, and you're right, this whole attitude, we need to get over 38 studios, it remains the same. If this were a really good deal, there are so many venture capitalists, there's so many different people that would love to jump in on something like this and they would see a fortune. That's not happening. And the reason is because they are confident that they can kind of ram this down through the throat of the taxpayers. So
right. Well, but I don't know that it's all, you know, Bob Walsh, the NEA Union Poobah, which is his group, is a member of the AFL-CIO, so they're all connected in Rhode Island. For him, I hear he has said that it's not at all about the money. I mean, he learned to ride his bicycle in that parking lot. And so it's really just a personal thing. It has nothing to do with union jobs and political leverage. Nothing at all. It's about young kids learning to ride a bicycle in a parking lot of a baseball stadium. That's all it is.
Much like last week in Warwick, when they brought in the specialists to show the teachers how to use these new high-tech instruments they're going to be able to use so they can do demonstrations in the classroom. The union, even though they have a contract, set up a picket. They're still working without a contract, set up a picket line. Only two people crossed it, so the whole thing was then like a complete waste. So you have the kids coming in, and they're going to have all these types of gadgets that they could be using, and the teachers don't know how to use it properly. But remember, Justin, it's about the kids. It's always about the kids.
In the long run.
Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to move into, you know, Ken Block. We're speaking with Justin Katz, OceanStateCurrent.com, managing editor. Ken Block put a lot of time and effort to really dig into the numbers with the whole element of just who can vote. I've had him on the program. He remains saying that it is so easy and keeps being able to prove to Nellie Gobi and her staff that someone can just make up a name and very easily create a electricity utility bill, and suddenly, boom, they're registered to vote. And it just continues to be no one seemingly is at the State House taking this seriously. They don't seem to be trying to see if this has any merit or take it. Again, I think Ken Block put in a lot of time and effort. I know he did. He certainly made a strong case about it. And then at the same time, it was just in the Providence Journal the other day, Block's whole report seemingly falls on deaf ears at the State House. And even though he certainly demonstrated and has real evidence that the voting system here in Rhode Island can be manipulated. No one, especially not Secretary of State Nelly Gobia, she doesn't seem to be interested in it. The headline was blocks voter fraud charges fall on deaf ears. Voter fraud in Rhode Island? You have the Democrat Kevin Olsley. We know for a fact, here was his quote, there was no voter fraud 2016 in the state of Rhode Island, director of the Rhode Island Democrat Party a week and a half ago. But even Justin, Mayor Fung demonstrated that just in the city of Cranston they found, without even really digging, they found some instances where people had voted twice or they weren't supposed to be voting. I think it's one of those things. I just don't think they're looking for it.
Oh, yeah, and it starts to be real suspicious when you're getting these statements of there is none at all, none at all. You know, it'd be one thing if the Secretary of State or the Democrat Party in the state were coming out and saying there is some, that's a problem we need to fix, but it's not a major problem, nobody should lose confidence in our elections. Instead, they're pushing back to the full extent, saying nothing at all. And it's very disturbing because you need a future orientation on these things. You need to be looking at, and this is what Ken does, you know, in software, I'm sure, you're looking for things that could go wrong, and you're trying to fix them before they do, because it's critical that we have confidence in our voting system and our electoral system, especially when some races come down to mail ballots of a few hundred. That's, people have to be really confident in that. But across the board, you see that everywhere they can, they're loosening the system. So as Ken illustrated, you can register pretty much at any address with any name, create an electric bill on your computer. You could essentially scan one in and change the name, and there you go, you've got your document, and you can register. But you've also, we just passed this automatic registration at the DMV, which is very similar, just ropes people right in to be registered to vote when they get a driver's license. It's not just a driver's license, by the way. It allows other agencies who collect similar information to register people. So think like UHIP when people go to get welfare benefits.
Yes.
They might also be registered to vote. And then you add in our other topic today, the kind of loose immigration. All these things start to look like they point in a particular direction. And what makes it even worse, and what I found, the thing that really jumped out at me in that Providence Journal article about Ken's study, was they asked him, well, why don't you, if the government's not willing to investigate, why don't you file a complaint? And he pointed out in the law, that would make me liable for a lawsuit against me if people accuse me of trying to attack people without basis. So there's a vulnerability. You can't just put in a complaint and have them look into it. If you put in the complaint, you can be prosecuted. At the same time, this automatic registration for voter registration at the DMV explicitly says that if you're incorrectly registered to vote through this process, we'll assume that it wasn't on purpose. That's our assumption, that it was just a government mistake. And so you start to see a pattern here where everything points in the direction of kind of making it easier and safer to commit voter fraud, and harder and less safe to complain about it. I mean, Ken is, I'm pretty sure, Secretary of State, either they are thinking about this or they have done it. They're going to take out birthdays as something that's available to the public when you get voter information. And that's a key way to make sure you're not talking about two different John DePetros in Rhode Island or something, if you can compare the first last name and the birthday. So they take that information out, it becomes harder to prove. And it starts to really feel not only that they don't care, but that there's actively something going on that they're trying to keep from us all.
Especially, you know, that raises a very good point. If I were Secretary of State Nelly Gobia, now Ken Block, he's not an elected official, he's a public citizen, he took the time to do this, and as a result of that, the Democrat Party, as you know, then they went on Twitter and they attack him. Now, what I don't understand, and is very discouraging, is you would think Secretary of State Nelly Gobia, any citizen that steps forward, that maybe they find a glitch in the system, or you want people to say, hey, you know, and raise their hand. I think I found something wrong here, whether it is someone that works at DCYF or at Human Services, whatever it may be. Whenever you have someone that raises their hand and says, hey, I think I found a problem here, if your reaction is to attack, which the Democrat Party did, that whole business of, you know, can be often found blowing dog whistle claims, unsubstantiated voter fraud. She has stood by and let the Democrat Party attack Ken Block. Who else then would want to step forward and say, hey, I think I found something wrong here? Who would want to be attacked? Do you want citizens to be engaged? These are the same people that say, you know, we want people involved in government. We want transparency. When someone raises their hand and says, I think I found a glitch here, there's a vulnerability, they immediately start attacking the guy. So I think that's just as damaging, Justin.
Oh, yeah. Well, it all goes together. That's a great point. I mean, it's just another way in which they make it harder to, and less likely that people will look for problems, and easier for people to cheat and to create problems. And you would think it'd be a kind of a slam dunk for anybody running for any office in Rhode Island to seem a little bit moderate. You know, obviously there are people who are concerned about it. And it doesn't take much effort to say, you know, based on Mr. Block's findings, I'm looking into legislation to tweak or to tighten up some
exactly.
of this language.
Yes.
It's almost cost-free, and yet they won't do it. They refuse to do it. Now, that could just be because their political narrative is so set that they've tarred things like clearing the vote rolls. They've tarred through the vote and all that as racist and trying to suppress voters. So they're pretty far out on a limb in some regards that way. So if they start saying, well, okay, we'll tighten the language on, that might kind of play badly with some of their constituents. But the other option is that there really is just, and they know of, vote fraud that they don't want us to discover.
No. You know, it reminds me, we're going to move on to something else, but a friend of mine is the CEO of a certain company, and he would always tell me he loves, at the end of the summer, he would bring in the interns. And the college interns, you know, these kids are unfiltered. They don't know any better. They don't know the politics in the office. And they would roll out at the very, very end of the summer the fall marketing plans for the company. And the normal people, the employees that have been there for a while, you know, that know office politics, they would sit there in the conference room, and no matter what they'd show them, they'd, oh, brilliant, oh, that's fantastic, blah, blah, blah. He'd show it to the interns who don't know any better and be like, oh, that's terrible. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, you could improve that. And he loved their sheer honesty as far as that's how you get a straight answer, where to me, this is unacceptable that Nelly Gorbea, the Secretary of State, is allowing the Democrat Party to kind of tee off on Ken Block in this way. This isn't someone that just made some blind accusations. I mean, he brought some numbers to the table. It was a study. And if everything he is saying is not true, and when I've had him on, he keeps using that I could register my dog to vote, that the Gorbea people and her office and the Democrat Party, you know, why are they protesting so much unless there's something to that? We're going to ask Justin to hold on just one more time. We're going to come right back and then ask him about what we think is going to happen, folks, over the next couple of weeks. As now you're going to start to see some people that are going to be announcing their plans as far as running for higher office here on Rhode Island. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll be right back with Justin Katz.
I'm on the road and my ride is going strong. Turn on the radio, they're playing my song. Just keep on moving, just keep on running.
Introducing the all-new Chevrolet Bolt EV, America's affordable, fully electric crossover with 238 miles of range. The Bolt EV is as easy to charge as your cell phone. Paul Massey Chevrolet has over 80 Bolt EVs and is out to electrify Rhode Island with this exclusive one-price lease. Only $249 a month for 39 months with zero due at signing. Visit Paul Massey Chevrolet, your only true one-price Bolt EV dealer.
Hi, this is Art Brody, hoping you'll join me Sunday mornings at 7 for Art & Company. Each week we'll feature a special guest to fill you in on everything from programs and services available to area seniors to what's going on in the Newport Faith community to fun things to do at Newport's Ballard Park. Don't miss an action-packed minute. Join us for Art & Company, Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1540 WADK.
After 48 years of coastal weather and many millions of vehicle crossings, we're making major road deck repairs to the Newport Pell Bridge. Diligent maintenance by the Turnpike and Bridge Authority has significantly extended the life of the original surface, but with safety as our top priority, we can't put this project off any longer. The deck project will resume September 19th, but don't let that stop you from visiting Aquidneck Island, as traffic delays are only during rush hours. Find more information at ritva.org.
Folks, remember, if you need to have any type of medical testing done, well, Eastside Clinical Lab, they're the best, and they are there to save you money. Your doctor wants you to have lab tests done, but you wonder, does your health plan have a deductible? Can I choose which lab to get my blood work done? Well, the next time you need testing and to avoid the high cost of hospitals, visit Eastside Clinical Laboratory. Eastside Clinical Lab offers the highest quality, lowest cost. They accept all insurances, over 50 locations. There's a location near you. Why pay more? For more information, answers to your questions, and most importantly, a location near you, visit labchoice.org. That's labchoice.org.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
And we're back on this Wednesday. Again, our guest is Justin Katz. Justin, it certainly seems that already we can, you know, start to see some of the people that we're going to start to hear a lot more from as far as running for office. There's still plenty of time. It is somewhat early. But unless I'm missing something, right now on the Republican side, you have three potential people, maybe four, but certainly three potential people with Joe Trillo, Patricia Morgan, and Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. And then as far as is Bob Flanders, Judge Flanders, going to get into the race against Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, we don't know. Certainly Representative Bobby Nardalillo is already out and been vocal. And one thing about Nardalillo is they certainly – you know, and this is the time to get better with rapid response. Everything that happens, they're, you know, firing off and at least getting out a press release. And then you have Pina Nerona, who held kind of a gathering and talking with some different people and the role that the attorney general plays. But other than that, any other names that you're hearing potentially for attorney general, maybe for governor? I know, you know, there's also the rumor Aaron Ruggenberg, the big progressive from the east side, may challenge Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. But I'm not hearing anyone else as far as general treasurer or anyone. There was a thing this morning, Ken Block saying he's not going, I think Kathy Gregg tweeted out, he's not running for Secretary of State, even though there was a letter to the editor saying he should, in fact, run for Secretary of State. But any other names? Then we had, actually in Providence, I think it's Kobe Dennis said that he may challenge Jorge Elorza for mayor of Providence. But it's always tough because sometimes people figure, well, I want to get something, and if I throw my name out to get in the race, maybe they'll give me something so I won't run. So it's tough sometimes. And I'm not saying that about Kobe Dennis. A lot of people pull that trick. But any other names that you're hearing could be floating to the surface?
No, I had heard the Ken Block rumor about Secretary of State, which I think would be great.
I agree. Yeah. And I think he'd have a very good – well, it depends if they can clear up some of this, but he certainly has a strong argument on voter fraud.
Right, definitely. And it's a position that somebody – you know, not quite get the challenge like Ted Seidel with running for attorney general on the platform of going after looking into pensions. You know, it doesn't feel like a complete fit because obviously an attorney general does much more, whereas something like this would be central to the Secretary of State's job. I kind of wish there were more names coming out because this is the time when relatively unknown people have to start becoming known, and there aren't a whole lot of good or candidates that you would want in the state who could pull off a last minute jump in the race and already have some credibility. There aren't a whole lot of those people. So it'd be nice to have more out there. You did mention that Bobby Nardalillo, he's getting better at the rapid response. His response on the immigration issue, I think was one of the first ones that I thought was good of him. He tends to go. He has tended to side with what he thinks the news media wants him to say, which was disappointing. And I kind of would like to see Bob Flanders out there more. Even whether he's running or not, start to test the water with some of his policy thinking. Something like this issue, especially the DACA issue, would be a great opportunity for him as a judge to say, well, look, this is the rule of law. We need to work through this.
That's right.
He could offer a great contrast. It's a missed opportunity because you've got, as we mentioned earlier, Sheldon Whitehouse out there saying the same outrageous, cruel and unusual punishment kind of thing that every other national Democrat is saying. And Bob Flanders could come out and say, well, look, I don't necessarily like that we're in this position, but it's the law. And I think people would be open to that kind of an approach. But no, I haven't heard a whole lot of rumors, and it'd be great if we heard more.
We're a year out from a primary, so any type of primaries would basically be a year from now, or second Tuesday in September when they would have it. So we're gonna, at different times, Governor Raimondo certainly would seem vulnerable, or if there's going to be a progressive challenge from the left this time. I know everyone says Chafee. I don't think we're going to hear anything from him until sometime next year, and you just wonder if he's always just going to kind of be, like I like to say, throwing rocks from the bleachers as opposed to or booing instead of actually jumping into the field. I think the situation with Alorza is another one. He brought in Michael Solomon, and that's the old Cianci trick. If you have someone on the sidelines who may challenge you, you instead hire them and then kind of eliminate your competition. And I think, Justin, also one of the more interesting things to watch at the State House is it's no secret that the progressives would like to remove Speaker Nick Mattiello and also his right-hand man, Deputy Joe Sakacci. And I think the interesting play here to be would be if the progressives line up progressives against them, because people are asking me, do you think Steve Frias is going to take out or go after Mattiello again? I think the real play is you would see a lot of times the progressives, they a lot of female candidates, and someone that would challenge Mattiello, and he had the whole thing with Montanaro, Mattiello, tomato, tomato, it kind of almost sounds the same to some of the people. We'll see where this Pawsox thing comes out. But I think their bigger worry could be a very organized progressive candidate as opposed to a Republican challenging them.
Right. And if they're focusing on the General Assembly, the progressives, that is, that we'll hear less about it because they tend to be more local. And it's probably easier. I mean, you don't need quite as much money to make a splash in a General Assembly. I mean, Dawn Oyer, between her and Planned Parenthood, it was $32,000, which is pretty significant for that kind of a race. But if that might be their play, in which case the response will be more interesting. The statewide offices, they get a lot of press and they're visible because they're single individuals elected to a single position. But the real battle is probably going to be in the General Assembly over the next year.
Folks, again, we're going to go back to actually Mondays, or we're going to start Mondays with Justin. He's the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Stay dry, everybody.
That's right. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, 846-1028. We're actually going to speak with Representative Bobby Nardalillo coming up next hour. He had a very, very strong tweet in reaction to Governor Raimondo, who keeps talking about all these poor children that are involved with DACA, these poor illegal alien children, and yet seemingly she had no response at all with, you had kids dying in DCYF, sexually abused, and no reaction to that at all. Hey, I want to remind you on this Wednesday about Sam's Inn. Everyone is raving about Sam's Inn. Located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick, it's Sam's Inn. Sam Curry has done it again. Folks, what a tremendous place. You can call them at 737-6073, also online at samsinri.com. Daily lunch special at Sam's Inn is just $6.95. And on top of that, free salad bar with any entree. When you enter Sam's Inn, to the left, they have the lounge. Lively, live entertainment, always a big crowd in there singing along. To the right-hand side, you'll see the main dining room. They have the salad bar. They even have a great private party room at Sam's Inn. Make sure you try the Big Stuffed Quahogs or the Little Necks. They also have the Sam Burger or the Southwest Burger At Sam's Inn, people love the ravioli with meatball. Steve from Gilmore loves the pot roast. My friend Ray, he goes in on Thursday nights for the meat. Steve has the pot roast. Ray has the meatloaf. That's right. Delicious steaks. Try the lobster roll. I think you could argue it is just one of the best you'll ever have. It's all at Sam's Inn. Oh, I love the broiled swordfish and also the linguine with clam sauce. And Sam's specials are just great. Surf and turf, Sunday family-style chicken, free salad bar with any entree. They're waiting for you at Sam's Inn. Located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick, call them at 737-6073. Sam Curry has done it again. Kimberly, Pam, the whole staff in there, you're going to love what a delightful dining experience is waiting for you at Sam's Inn. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Each afternoon, here I am, from 1 to 5, right here. We are going to try to make afternoons great again, right here on AM 1540, and it's WADK. Now, President Trump has been speaking out. Let's play a little bit of this. This is President Trump earlier talking to reporters aboard Air Force One en route to North Dakota, and said he may revisit the DACA issue. Now, the president's expected to speak next hour. I'd like to carry that if we can. But let's hear. This is President Trump saying Congress wants to do this.
I want to see what happens in Congress. I have a feeling that's not going to be necessary. I think they're going to make a deal. I think Congress really wants to do this.
Now, the president also went on to say Congress 6 months to legalize it. Otherwise, he'd revisit it. And as far as the role of Congress and them working on it?
I said if we can get something to happen, we're going to sign it, and we're going to make it a lot of happy people.
Now, Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson, he says, what a shock. He feels the president discriminatory.
In our lawsuit, we allege the president's own statements make clear that a majority of Dreamers are being targeted for discriminatory treatment based on their national origin.
No, they're illegal, and it was a temporary measure. He goes on, also make this reckless charge. Boy, this guy ought to be in Rhode Island, that the president is targeting Mexicans.
If the overwhelming majority of Dreamers were Caucasian, does anybody really think this president would have taken the action he took yesterday?
That is absolutely ridiculous. They're not. They're from foreign countries. What a stupid thing to say by the Attorney General from Washington, which I'm sure Attorney General Peter Kilmartin is also going to be on board with him. And the president also mentioned North Korea.
He's very much in favor of the denuke of North Korea. And we're talking about different things. We have some things we're going to be talking again soon. And we'll see how that works out.
Folks, I also want to remind you, again, we're going to have a lot more on that as the afternoon goes on. But I want to remind you, this is the perfect planting season. Hey, we got a little rain today. Stop it and see my friends at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Rhode Island's number one garden center, located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. You can call Steve and Debbie at 295-4399. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. They are Rhode Island's number one garden center. And this time of year, next few months, perfect. Get your property in order. They're open 7 days a week. Look for the magnificent outdoor display. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They're located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. Greenhouse, flowers, shrubs, trees, a full garden center. Full line of landscape materials plus pickup and delivery. As I mentioned, they're open 7 days a week. They're open till 5 o'clock today. Stop in and see why they're Rhode Island's number one garden center. They're the best. It's PR, Landscape Materials, and Garden Center. All locally grown, homegrown. Remember, buy local at PR, Landscape Materials, and Garden Center. Well, folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll take more of your phone calls. 846-1028. Stay with us on this Wednesday.